welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. Hey, how's that pondering going? In my last episode, I asked you to ponder, are we as a culture too thin-skinned? Or are we too insensitive? In other words, I could actually go into too passionate and too indifferent. There's all sorts of contrast out there, but I honestly think we need to start looking at this, because as you ponder this, I hope, and the intent of this pondering thing is to get you to look at you for yourself, because nobody can look at you for you. You have to look at yourself and say, am I insensitive when I speak to others, or am I overly sensitive when I speak to others? I can tell you, I hold back a lot, unlike in the days of the Marine Corps and unlike, you know, the days when I just got out. There were people that their jaws would drop that were working for me. I mean, I've made it into management and accelerated in management really well. It's just that some of the people that, you know, I had to interface with, whether it be infrastructure, like IT services, that type of stuff, I mean, I didn't cut them any slack. It was their job to get things done. If they weren't getting it done, then I called them out on it. And they didn't like that. And I go, well, look, I mean, I get called out when I'm not getting my job done. You know, why are you different? Anyway. I hope you're looking at that, because I have, over time, have been pushed and compressed and been addressed by, I'll just say it, by managers and leaders. Hey, you know, take a more sensitive approach. You know, leaders have to take a more sensitive approach. You know what? When all of a sudden the buildings are falling down, I think sensitivity goes out the window. And I think most people realize, you know, that it's time to quit being thin-skinned and it's time of action. Such as 9/11, when Rudy Giuliani was doing his address in front of the world. And some reporter asked, do you have an idea of what the impact and cost of this will all be? And he just cut right to the point. The cost will be too great, but we have work to do, so let's get out there. I mean, it was just how he's wrapping up that first news conference regarding 9/11. Now, this show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are looking and listening to the only academic show that gives you academic evidence-based solutions. I know my articles could be better. I know I could write better. I know I could speak better. But we don't have time for people to be polishing, because I'm telling you what, you're not going to get these little well-polished conservative entertainers that are on all the different airwaves in the United States. You're not going to get the truth from them, and you're not going to get the education you need, because they don't have it. All they have is the ability to come up with these little cliches, these little sound bites that go, yeah, boy, I can relate to that. I'm sorry. I wish I could be more to you than that, but we have a job to do here. We have to educate you, because I believe reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And I believe the majority of Americans are reasonable. There are those, the outlier, maybe 10%. It's not even 10% that's a part of BLM and Antifa and all the rest of this. They're the only ones out there, because they have nothing else to do. They have committed themselves to the Bolshevik Revolution. I promised that I wasn't going to dive into a great monologue, or a long monologue is what I should say. So anyway, let me get into the endorsements that I think will help you. If you need financial coaching, you need some financial help, look up Fortitude Financial Coaching. It's on the Reclaiming the Republic And I believe it's the important links. I'm pretty sure. As a matter of fact, during the break, I'll take a look at it, and I'll come back and let you know where you can get a link to contact Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. You can also, and you can Google it as well, or DuckDuckGo, I should say. You can get free Constitution classes from Keith Broders at constitutioneducation.us. Timber Nation is a place that you can get American-made, American wood, everything produced here. Well, maybe not the screws, but anyway, everything done and made for you. Custom. Custom. If you think that, oh, you know what, it's going to be unreasonable, give them the idea. I mean, the worst thing they can tell you is an unreasonable price. Say, well, I can't afford that. But give them the idea, and they will come back to you and say, this is what it'll cost to build what you're asking for. So give them a shot. If you're really looking for something special, you know, whether it be a special wall of shelves, a special listening center, an entertainment center, a special desk, then please give these guys a call. Now, RadioDustCovers.com. This guy is a patriot, and he is, I believe, he's on his way to becoming a refugee from California. Give them a contact. Give them a call. Reach out to them, RadioDustCovers.com, if you're looking to get and or protect your equipment, your hardware, and so forth. I've told you already the swamp is up, and you know about, and I remind you for in between every show that we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And so we left off with Monroe basically talking about, you know, what's going on and piracies that were affecting our neighborhood islands of Cuba, you know, and how they've been afflicted, and how actually the armament and these small ships added to the Navy has helped restore commerce. You know, piracy always happens where, you know, commerce is booming and or where commerce is, you know, flowing. And if you look, you know, why is piracy so hot right there at the Horn of Africa? Not the Horn, but up by the Mediterranean and so forth. Actually, again, wrong geography. It's over by the Persian Gulf. If you really look over in that area, it's really out in kind of no man's land. But if you understand the affluence of all the money and the types of goods that flow into Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, and all these other different places, Qatar, then you'll actually start realizing, oh, I guess, you know, piracy would be, you know, a real opportunity. Well, and that's why it's been problematic over there, because they just don't have a navy over there. Who has to do it? Because we actually have our own goods going through there. So the only real Navy of any consequence is ours. Anyway, back to Monroe. The patriotic zeal and enterprise of Commodore Porter, to whom the command of the expedition was confided, has been fully seconded by the officers and men under his command. And in reflecting with high satisfaction on the honorable manner in which they have sustained the reputation of their country and its navy, the sentiment is alloyed only by a concern that in the fulfillment of that arduous service, the diseases incident to the season and the climate in which it was discharged have deprived the nation of many useful lives, and among them of several officers of great promise. In the month of August, a very malignant fever made its appearance at Thompson's Islands, which threatened the destruction of our station there. Many perished, and the commanding officer was severely attacked. Uncertain as to his fate, and knowing that the most of the medical officers had been rendered incapable of discharging their duties, it was thought expedient to send to that post an officer of rank and experience with several skilled surgeons. And back in those days, surgeons was a completely different thing, to ascertain the origins of the fever and the probability of its recurrence there in future seasons, to furnish every assistance to those who were suffering, and if practicable, to avoid the necessity of abandoning so important a station. Commodore Rogers, with a promptitude which did him honor, cheerfully accepted the trust and has discharged it in a manner anticipated from his skill and patriotism. Before his arrival, Commodore Porter, with the greater of the squadron, had removed from the island and returned to the United States in consequence of the prevailing sickness. Much useful information has, however, been obtained as to the state of the island, and great relief afforded to those who had been necessarily left there. Although our expedition, cooperating with an invigorated administration of the government of the island of Cuba, and with their corresponding active exertions of a British naval force in the same seas, have almost entirely destroyed the unlicensed piracies from that island, the success of our exertions has not been equally effectual to suppress the same crime under other pretenses and colors of the neighboring island of Puerto Rico. They have been committed there under the abusive issue of Spanish commissions. So, well, interesting. Spain was actually playing around with piracy. Britain was there, and they were, because Britain had a lot of trading to do still over in the American area or the Northern Hemisphere. And because they were this huge mercantile system, they were dependent on production of certain things in certain parts of the area, such as opium in the Afghanistan area. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me move on. At an early period, of the present year, remonstrances were made to the governor. Now, remonstrances, in this case being arguments, were made to the governor of that island by an agent who was sent for the purpose against those outrages on the peaceful commerce of the United States, of which many had occurred. That officer, professing his own want of authority to make satisfaction for our just complaints, answered only by a reference of them to the government of Spain. The minister of the United States to that court was especially instructed to urge the necessity of immediate and effectual interposition of that government, directing restitution and indemnity for wrongs already committed and interdicting the repetition of them. The minister, as has been seen, was debarred access to the Spanish government. And in the meantime, several new cases of flagrant outrage have occurred, and citizens of the United States in the island of Puerto Rico have suffered, and others been threatened with assassination for asserting their unquestionable rights even before the lawful tribunals of the country. The unusual orders have been given to all our public ships to seize American vessels in the slave trade and bring them in for adjudication, which means for prosecution and to be held accountable. And I have the gratification to state that not one so employed has been discovered, and that there is good reason to believe that our flag is now seldom, if at all, disgraced by that traffic. Friends, do you see how bad history has been revised? But more importantly, you can see again how Spain has been doing ill things, you know, in the Western Hemisphere. And you can see why the necessity, as he starts reporting all of these things, you can see the necessity for our own interests, because we were already becoming a superpower and Europe was recognizing it, because the states themselves already started surpassing each of these individual kingdoms of Europe. Now, it is a source of great satisfaction that we are always enabled to recur to the conduct of our Navy with price and condemnation, as a means of national defense. It enjoys the public confidence and is steadily assuming additional importance. It is submitted whether a more efficient and more an equally economical organization of it might not, in several respects, be affected. It is supposed that higher grades than now exist by law would be useful. They would afford well-merited rewards to those who have long faithfully served their country, present the best incentives to good conduct, and the best means of ensuring a proper discipline, destroying the inequality in that respect between military and naval services, and relieve our officers from many inconveniences and mortifications which occur when our vessels meet those of other nations, ours being the only service in which such grades do not exist. A report of the Postmaster General which accompanies this communication will shew that the present state of the Post Office Department and its general operations for some past years. There is established by law 88,600 miles of post roads on which the mail is now transported. Now, to be clear, a post road is the primary road that takes you from one seat of government to another seat of government. Okay, and how they interconnect to basically, you know, bring you all to Washington, D.C. Now, these post roads go all the way out into the territories as well. Anyway, and contracts have been made for its transportation on all the established routes with one or two exceptions. There are 5,240 post offices in the Union, and as many postmasters, the gross amount of postage which accrued from 1822 to 1823 was $1 million, or a little over $1 million. During that same period, the expenditures of the Post Office Department amounted to a little bit more. So I'm going to give you the actual numbers so you can see the difference. The money that was accrued through postage covered the cost of $1,114,345. The cost of operation was $1,169,885 and consisted of the following items, compensation to postmasters, incidental expenses, transportation of the mail, payments into the treasury. On the 1st of July last, there was due to the department from the postmaster $135,000 and $135,245. So, folks, the post office has always been a loss for us. It is in the Constitution that the United States government will provide a postal service. And so if we don't like the postal service and we don't like the mail, which is actually maybe becoming arcane, if we start actually allowing things to just go into a free market, I think that's okay. But some communications, such as, you know, voter information or those types of things, become actually very expensive for the government to keep you informed and those types of things. We really have to weigh the costs. And I have no problem with maintaining a postal service. It's in the Constitution. Have we reached the error, or have we reached the point? Is our milieu or our environment, are we in that type of environment that says, you know what, we don't need this? You know, the Postal Service can use UPS, they can use FedEx, they can use all the competitive services out there. Going to every post box every day is a very costly affair. Ask UPS and ask FedEx, if they had to take on that job, how much would it cost? And I'm here to tell you, you wouldn't like what you would have to pay for postage. Just sending a bill, receiving correspondence and personal letters, and so forth. The postage that you pay today, it may be subsidized just because of some of the costs and the efficiencies. But really, the costs have less to do with efficiencies and more to do with the cost of labor. You having somebody in that car to drive around, and are we at the point where we want to automate that? These are really dangerous things. I don't think we're there. I don't think we want to actually start having this conversation, because I hear way too many people talk bad and say we got to get rid of the post office and the post service. To do that, we have to amend the Constitution, period. That's the only way we can do that. Okay, making total balances due to the department are basically $400,000. These balances embrace all delinquencies of postmasters and contractors which have taken place since the organization of the department. There was due by the department to contractors on the 1st of July last. There was over $26,000. The transportation of the mail within 5 years has been greatly extended, and expenditures of the department proportionally increased. Although the postage has been accrued within the last 3 years has fallen short of the expenditures, it appears that collections have been made from the outstanding balances to meet the principal part of the current demands. It is estimated that more than $250,000 of the above balances can be collected, and that a considerable part of this sum can only be realized by a resort to legal process. Some improvements in the receipts for postage is expected. A prompt attendance to the collection of monies received by postmasters, it is believed, will enable the department to continue its operations without aid from the Treasury, unless the expenditures shall be increased by the establishment of new mail routes. Now, I want to point out something to you. When you start looking at the nature of people, because Adam Smith talks about how when government starts doing things and providing something and so forth, 9 times out of 10, people figure out how to game the system. People try to figure out, you know, how they can get around it or use it for free. Obviously, that was the case. Obviously, when Monroe said that they had to go to court to, you know, get that $250,000 back, that became one of those things. And I'm going to tell you that in many cases, it's just not worth chasing somebody over that small amount of money. You know, my dentist told me in California that if, you know, he doesn't go after those people who don't pay their bill. You know, they may never be able to come back to him, but if he spent the money going after them for the $1,000, $1,500, it would cost him more money to go and enforce that and go through the process of getting that money. He says it becomes a complete wash for him. And so just letting you know that a lot of times that's what ends up happening, because people start learning that, you know what, you know, I think I can game the system and they won't even come after me. I have something to share with the IRS on that, but we'll do that as soon as we come back from the break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I kind of threw out this little note about the IRS. So this year, when we filed with the IRS, as you know, I had hip surgery. And as you know, from that hip surgery, it was disclosed that I have a lung disease. And so it really... You know, and that all happened at the end of March and going in towards April 15th. I was in recovery, so we were already kind of planning on doing an extension. And usually you'd only do a 90-day extension. Well, my CPA went ahead and did a six-month extension, just in case. And so that took us out to October 15th. Well, as we started working with my CPA, our accountant, our tax preparer, we, you know, ended up owing a lot of money. But anyway, we paid what we thought on time would be the necessary amount of money so that the IRS would not be owed any more money and I wouldn't have to pay interest or fees or anything else. And so then it took a little bit of time. So we didn't actually end up filing until I think late September. And what my CPA didn't do was they didn't incorporate the interest on the little bit of taxes we still owed. It was a couple thousand dollars because the interest was like 40 some dollars. And so I got a notice from the IRS that stated that we owe $45. Actually, what they did, because they cashed the check, we sent the coupon, you know, a little note, okay, this is what I owe you, this is what I'm sending you. And so they cashed the check, and then they came back with me with a note basically disregarding the fact that they cashed that check and said, you not only owe us for the interest, you owe us for the fees as well as the taxes. Like I had to pay the taxes and fees again because my CPA did calculate the fees. And I go, are you kidding me? So I actually talked to my CPA. I said, what are we going to do? And she said, basically, all you got to do is write a letter. I wasn't happy with the fact that I pay a CPA, then they tell me to write a letter because she didn't include the, you know, those little bits of interest. Anywho, she goes, we've never included interest. And I'm telling you this for a reason because I want you to understand how quickly things change. Over the years from Obama, because we have had extensions for years for many different reasons, never did we ever pay interest. And she pointed this out to me. She says, the IRS will never come after you. They've never come after any of my clients for, you know, interest rates. They actually forgive the interest as long as you pay the tax and as long as you pay the fee. And she says, I'm absolutely flabbergasted that they're actually charging you this $45 interest. Folks, see what happens when a tyrant takes over. If we thought Obama was a tyrant, Biden is a shell. Don't look at this man as having a soul or a mind. He is a shell. I don't know if you've ever worked with anybody that has dealt with what we want to call Alzheimer's, dementia, those types of states where people just don't have their right mind anymore. It is obvious that Biden doesn't really know. I think he can still articulate. He still has some cognitive functions. This is why I truly believe that before the 2024 election, he will be put aside by the 25th Amendment and that Kamala Harris will unconstitutionally and actually disgracefully become the President of the United States because she has no constitutional qualifications to be president. And what I mean by that is she is not a U.S. citizen. She never became a U.S. citizen. She has been just like all the other children of illegals that have come here. She is not a citizen. She was not under the jurisdiction of the United States, or her parents weren't when she was born. And this, you know, what do they call that? Ipso facto, all of a sudden, you know, they wave a wand and voila, you're a citizen just because you were born here to non-citizen parents. Sorry. That would be cruel and unusual punishment to any family to basically kick the parents out but keep the child. That child is their, you know, I don't want to say the property of the parents, but is the sole responsibility and the sovereignty and jurisdiction of that child goes to the parents, and government jurisdiction that is associated with that child is what is associated with those parents. That was the whole intent of the 14th Amendment and that very first clause. Under the jurisdiction thereof. Anyway, let me move on. Having communicated my views to Congress at the commencement of the last session respecting the encouragement which ought to be given to our manufacturers and the principle on which it should be founded, I have only to add that those views remain unchanged and that the present state of those countries with which we have the most immediate political relations and greatest commercial intercourse tends to confirm them. Under this impression, I recommend a review of the tariff for the purpose of affording such additional protections to those articles which we are now prepared to manufacture or which are more immediately connected with the defense and independence of this country. The actual state of the public accounts furnishes additional evidence of the efficiency of the present system of accountability in relation to the public expenditure. Of the monies drawn from the Treasury since 1817, the sum remaining unaccounted for on the 30th of September last is more than $1.5 million, less than of the 30th of September preceding, and during the same period, a reduction of nearly $1 million has been made in the amount of the unsettled accounts for monies advanced previously. Folks, remember, he's talking about the efficiencies of government and how, you know, they're doing things they're supposed to bill, but they didn't. And they don't know, where's the money? What happened? You know, how things slipped into the cracks, how the government was losing money. It was even happening way back then. Excuse me. It will be obvious that in proportion to the massive accounts of the latter description is diminished by settlement, the difficulty of settling the residual is increased from the consideration that in many instances it can be obtained only by legal process. For more mere precise details on this subject, I refer to a report from the first comptroller of the Treasury. The sum, which was appropriated at the last session for the repairs of the Cumberland Road, has been applied with good effect to that object. A final report has been received from the agent who was appointed to superintend it. As soon as it was received, it shall be communicated to Congress. Many patriotic and enlightened citizens who have made the subject of an object of particular investigation have suggested an improvement of still greater importance. They are of the opinion that the waters of the Chesapeake and Ohio may be connected together by one continued canal, and at an expense far short of the value and importance of the object to be obtained. If this could be accomplished, it is impossible to calculate the beneficial consequences which would result from it. A great portion from the produce of the very fertile country through which it would pass would find a market through that channel. Troops may be moved with great faculty in war, with cannon and every kind of munition in every direction. Connecting the Atlantic to the Western country in a line, he's talking about Western country, right? Not the Western states, the territories, in a line passing through the seat of the national government, it would contribute essentially to strengthening the bond of the Union itself. Believing as I do that Congress possesses the right to appropriate money for such a national object, the jurisdiction remaining to the states through which the canal would pass, I submit to your consideration whether it not be advisable to authorize an adequate appropriation, the employment of a suitable number of the officers of the Corps of Engineers to examine the unexplored ground during the next season and to report their opinion thereon. It will likewise be proper to extend their examination to the several routes through which the waters of Ohio may be connected by canals with those of Lake Erie. As the Cumberland Road will require annual repairs, and Congress have not through it expended it to recommend to the states to amend the Constitution. So I got to highlight this part. As the Cumberland Road will require annual repairs, and Congress have not, through it, thought it expedient to recommend to the states an amendment to the Constitution for the purpose of vesting in the United States a power to adopt and execute a system of internal improvements, it is also submitted to your consideration whether it may not be expedient to authorize the executive to enter into an arrangement with the several states through which these roads pass to establish tolls, each within its limits for the purpose of defraying expense of future repairs and of providing also by suitable penalties for its protection against future injuries. There he's talking about the Department of Transportation not being constitutional. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get back to where we just left off. The Act of Congress appropriated the sum of $22,000 for the purpose of erecting two piers as a shelter for vessels from near ice Cape Henlopen, Delaware Bay, to effect the object of the Act. The officers of the Board of Engineers with Commodore Bainbridge were directed to prepare plans and estimates of piers sufficient to answer the purpose intended by the Act. Now, you got to remember, folks, that there may have been a lot more honesty in doing contracting and doing work back in these days. Labor was, suppressed. I shouldn't even say labor was suppressed, but labor was an honest factor as well. I mean, people got an honest wage for an honest day's work. And it was in actual, I'll just say viable currency. As we look today at how we do these types of contracts, and as we look today, in kind of moving forward on, the unions and so forth, with all of the mandatory things. Now, I believe that labor has to be competitive, but because it's not, because the union has polluted so much of the labor, and because many companies that, can't afford the union to come in and suck them dry, they can't offer those types of benefits. We can actually see how people start recognizing, the easier route for them just to become a part of the union. Now, the union, I will say, during the Bush-Obama administration was actually at its lowest rate. We're probably going to find that when people come back into the workforce and so forth, there will be more and more union, as the union will probably grow because of its association with the government control of labor coming back. This will be probably the end of the free market as we know it. In other words, at-will employees and at-will employment will be under fire and probably go away. But this will take a little while, but we'll see. I mean, when we see the vaccinations and everything else, I think that there's a good chance, and I've actually said this, I wrote this in my book, that the union does not realize what they're feeding is, because the union themselves is an opulent organization because the cats at the top make so much money. What golf course in America is probably one of the most prestigious, not only in America, but in the world? It is a union-funded golf course. That's how opulent the union is, and nobody ever examines. We've stopped looking at the union for a long time. And here's the interesting thing. Their demise is coming because government will eventually suck all of this stuff up, where government will regulate everything. And the unions themselves, they're going to be fighting for their positions in government. And they'll no longer be making their millions. They will, you know, directly through their efforts of the union, they'll be making their millions in protected investments and so forth, just like Congress is doing, as we see today. Anyway, the act of Congress appropriated the sum. Well, we actually covered that. The Board of Engineers were also directed to examine and survey the interest of, or the entrance of the harbor of the port of Presque Isle in Pennsylvania, in order to make an estimate of the expense of removing the obstructions to the entrance in a, with a plan of the best mode of effecting the same under the appropriation for that purpose by Act of Congress passed the 3rd of March last. The report of the board accompanies the papers from the War Department and is submitted for the consideration of Congress. Now, see, they saw the necessity of having port access so that they could actually have a defense system. Because at this point in time, we're spending all of this money for being able to have naval access and or be able to move, because it was all about national security. Once they spent all of this money, once they created these accesses, then that all of the rest of that stuff goes away. Excuse me. So what do you do with all of these federal employees that have worked themselves so well into doing a job and getting everything done? What do you do with them when all of a sudden that job goes away? Well, in the free market, you get fired. In the free market, they say, okay, well, you know, like Boeing, when the last 747 goes off the production line, then all the 747 employees, unless there's a place on new production, new products and so forth, and these people are retrainable and able to, you know, be converted into that, they let them go. Well, the government doesn't let people go. This is why, as they started expanding, this is why I tell you, when you look at the Department of Interior in 1849, when the United States, the expanse of the United States was pretty much done, and the layout of states was almost done as well. I mean, we kind of already started surveying the boundaries. Oklahoma was already surveyed as a state. What year did Oklahoma become a state? Go look it up. It will blow you away to know how long. I mean, Oklahoma used to be Indian territory, and we know that because that's where the Trail of Tears took, you know, in killing so many Indians or Native Americans heading out to Oklahoma, because that's where they were taken. Well, we know that was under Andrew Jackson with the Trail of Tears. Oklahoma did not become a state until November 16th, 1907. Why? I mean, that's 70-some years later. The only states that hadn't become states yet was New Mexico, Arizona, but they were already mapped out. New Mexico, Arizona, and then Alaska and Hawaii, which were already mapped out by the sale of the property from Russia, and as well as Hawaii being surrounded by water. So why was it that the Department of Interior was being created when its only job was to manage the transition of these states, or these territories that were mapped out to states, to become states? Why? And why was it that all of a sudden the government started usurping state rights in the equal footing? Every state had a right to come in with equal footing. The federal government had no right to take land and property that was not enumerated in the Constitution. We have an enumerated Constitution, folks. In other words, the federal government has only these powers, and only these powers they can operate and execute. Oh, And we have an enumerated constitution requiring what the government can possess as far as land for forts and magazines and needful buildings as well as the seat of government. In other words, they can possess land for military training, for military purposes, but they can't possess land for, you know, reserving land for whether it be forests or people. That is not within the Constitution. One, it's not within a role or power. And secondly, it's not within the enumerated properties that the federal government can own and operate. It's the same thing with parks and recreations. It's the same thing with environmental. The federal government has no enumerated listing for them to be able to own, operate, and control any land within a state. Those states have to actually, and only for these things that are constitutional. Even if the federal government came along and said, we want to pay you for this land so that we can use this as for whatever purpose that's not enumerated in the Constitution, and the state says, yeah, okay, sure, we'll take that money. Because as far as reality is, the states took money for something, and the federal government, it believes it can operate that land for something that it has no power to do. And so should the states have to pay back the federal government for doing something and trying to get away with something that they shouldn't have done? Or should the states basically just take back that land as they realize, hey, you know what? We were looking in the Constitution, and you don't have the delegated authority and power to do this from us states. I'm going to have to take this land back. And this is the federal government. Well, we paid you money for that. And we go, well, yeah, we, at that point in time, for some reason, we didn't question it. Well, we're questioning it now. We want you to prove how you have the delegated authority to execute these types of powers, these roles or responsibilities. Where is it? Oh, you don't have it? Then we're taking this land back. That's what Madison warned in his veto of the bonus bill, that the states at any point in time can correct this discrepancy, because it's their constitution. So anyway, let me get back. I hope you'll like these little rat holes we go down, but let me get back to this. The Board of Engineers were also directed to examine the, okay, we already did this for the War Department, I'm sorry, that paragraph we just read. A strong hope has been also entertained, founded on the heroic struggle of the Greeks, that they would succeed in their contest and resume their equal station among the nations of earth. It is believed that the whole civilized world take a deep interest in their welfare, although no power has declared in their favor, yet none, according to our information, has taken part against them. Their cause and their name have protected them from dangers which might err this have been overwhelmed by any people. The ordinary calculations of interest and acquisition with a view to aggrandizement, which mingles so much in the transaction of nations, seems to have had no effect in regard to them. From the fact which they come to the knowledge, there is good cause to believe that their enemy has lost forever all dominion over them, that Greece will become again an independent nation, that she may obtain that rank is the object of our most ardent wishes. Now, getting back to foreign affairs, folks, we're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. I'm G.R. Mobley. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.